Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Teenagers are playing video games more than ever, and addiction is a real concern. We'll talk about this and much more on episode number 51, titled, Is My Son Addicted to Video Games? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every single day. And I'm happy to announce that our Empowered Teen Parenting Workshop is up and running, and if you'd like to get a priority entry when we set up our next one, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and send me an email. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. I'm sure plenty of other folks will benefit from your question, so come on over to my website and enter it there today. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. No, it's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, Regina from Cleveland, Ohio writes, my 15-year-old son loves to play video games. He's smart and school comes easily to him, so he doesn't have to work hard to get A's and B's. So he finishes his work at school or quickly after school and then plays video games the rest of the time. He participates in some activities, marching band and tennis, but he doesn't have a ton of friends, and the ones he does have play video games. Sometimes they play online together, and when they're together, they mostly talk about games. They even watch videos of other people playing games. My husband thinks it's just a phase and that he needs it to keep friends. I'd like to see him doing other things. Is this healthy? How do I know if this is an addiction? Well, those are excellent and important questions, Regina. I'm hearing from parents with those concerns a ton these days, and clearly it's something we need to look at. Kids today are growing up with video game playing as a normal and common part of their lives. They wait anxiously for the latest and greatest upgrades to the games and the hardware, and it seems those improvements rarely disappoint. I'm seeing many parents, honestly only dads, who grew up playing video games and have that as part of their recreational lives too. By the way, I know girls are playing video games too. I don't mean to imply that only boys play video games, but I'm seeing dads play them and I'm not seeing moms play them. And because kids are playing games, other kids will want to play as a way to connect with their peers. Then they have the same experiences and shared experiences to talk about. So there's no denying it. Video gaming is an integral part of recreational life in Western culture and in many other cultures as well. So when I was a kid growing up, the only screen was on a TV, and it was entertaining and enjoyable, but that was about it. It wasn't terribly social unless you watched a show with some friends. And then there was no skill involved. You know, my parents put limits on it, and I could watch my favorite half-hour sitcom after my homework was done, and then more on weekend nights if I didn't have any other activity. With video games, it's more confusing. You know, there's a social element to the game. Not all games are you play with others, but a lot of kids do play with others. And then the player is active, they're building skills and being rewarded for reaching new levels. On the downside, of course, they're not getting exercise or fresh air, the socializing is not face-to-face, and they're staring at a screen. Even more concerning is that the game can be rewarding in a way that's a lot harder to find in real life. Our kids can enter a make-believe world and become a powerful, successful character in a way that does not happen so easily in real life. And also, while there are regular failures in the game, success can be just around the corner, and the anticipation of success comes with a powerful dopamine reward, and this drives the player, particularly teenagers who have enhanced dopamine release to keep playing and looking for success. It's the same kind of brain reward that happens with a one-armed bandit. You keep anticipating the next one, just the next one is going to be the fabulous reward. So this is what creates the potential for addiction. You know, it's a place where kids who are struggling with how to be socially successful and how to connect with peers, they can have that. It can be very rewarding, and the rewards can be frequent, powerful, and they can be compelling. So our kids are doing an activity. It's a lot of fun. It connects them with their peers. It's rewarding, and they can be successful. What's wrong with that? Well, if they're engaged in gaming to the exclusion of other activities, including physical activities, homework, home responsibilities, interacting with their family, art, music, reading, well, then maybe it's a problem. We want our kids to enjoy engaging in all those activities. And once a kid is hooked on the powerful, frequent reward system that gaming offers, you know, a slower, more tedious reward system of real life can feel a lot like a letdown, and they're going to want to go back to the gaming. If your kids are playing online games, what are they not doing? Are they, does it mean they're not playing cards with their siblings or playing Battleship with their siblings or their friends or drawing or reading or practicing the guitar? You know, when my younger brother was 7 or 8 and I was, I guess I'd have to have been 13 or 14, on weekend mornings we'd play with a tape recorder and we'd record shows at a slow speed and then play it back at a high speed. And that way we'd sound like the Chipmunks. And that's right, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks started as a fun gimmicky pop group for us teeny boppers in the early 60s or so. And they've gone on to stay in the, you know, as a fun thing for kids and teen, young teens. Anyway, that's a long way to say, if I were playing video games, my poor younger brother would have been ignored for long periods of time and left to entertain himself, and we wouldn't have developed that bonding play activity that gives me such fond memories today. So at the end of the day, parents are going to need to make a choice about supporting their kids in playing video games. And if you choose to go ahead and support it, please do so with limits. Remember, children and teens setting limits with video games for themselves is tough because the games keep inviting you to do more. Once again, when I was growing up and TV was our screen entertainment, the only device to watch it on was the TV, and the show had a beginning time and an ending time. Now, kids can watch shows, see movies, play games on any device at will 24/7. It requires a lot more personal limit setting skill in order to keep from getting sucked into games, from getting sucked into social media or any other online activity. So start early when your kids are young and make sure that your son or daughter is engaged in lots of other more positive activities. Make sure they understand the inherent dangers of online activity, including social media and gaming, and know to limit their involvement. Regina, to answer your question about addiction more directly, if your teenager is choosing video gaming over virtually anything else, if their involvement in other social activities is going down, academics are going down, if their mood is down, you may very well have an addicted kid or a kid on the way to addiction on your hands. It sounds like your son is really academically gifted, but he's not investing in school up to his potential. He barely does any work and he gets A's and B's. Is he taking the right classes? Are there some advanced projects he could become involved in? I'd be concerned that he isn't being challenged or challenging himself. I do not recommend that a 15-year-old play video games for hours a night. A weekend night with friends for a few hours, sure. But every night for hours? Absolutely not. Does he practice his band instrument even when there isn't marching band practice? Does he play tennis in the off season? Is he getting regular exercise and developing himself physically? Is he involved with the family? Cooking, cleaning, helping a sibling with their homework, or playing with a sibling? Here are some things to think about. If they obsess about playing and only do their responsibility so they can play their games and quality and the joy of learning or satisfaction of doing a good job is lost on them, addiction may very well be an issue. If they can no longer enjoy the real world and only want to participate in the virtual world, that's addiction. Now, I remember one family where the game playing was everything to the kid, and the parents were concerned that if they took it away, he'd have a complete breakdown, because that's the only thing that made him happy. Well, with my guidance and support, they turned off the internet, and after a huge fit, he had little by little, he started to reconnect with friends, and eventually, he got a girlfriend and started wanting to do better in school, and he wanted to look and act better as well. He started to grow up. If your kid says, "Don't take my gaming away, that's how I deal with my anxiety," or "That's my antidepressant," or "It's better than smoking pot, isn't it?" those are all signs that the gaming has taken on too much importance. Here's a basic approach to intervening when your kid is becoming obsessed with video gaming. Remember, the goal is for your teen or your child to learn to self-regulate. The goal. So I'm just going to give you a little role play exercise. So I'm going to call your son Bo. Bo, there are some concerns I have that I want to talk to you about. First of all, I want you to know that I think you're a great kid. I know you're smart and capable and generally responsible. You're respectful and pretty much do everything you need to do. I'm proud of you. I do have some concerns, and I think I may not have been giving you enough guidance and limits for you to grow yourself up to your ability. You know, school comes easily to you, and while you do your work, you don't do your best. You don't challenge yourself enough. I know when we said you had to do a sport, you chose tennis, but tennis is a short season. I don't see you doing anything else physical beyond PE. So you're not developing yourself physically the way you should. You know, I'm glad that you play the clarinet and the marching band, but I don't see you expanding on that. You could be moving on to saxophone and learning jazz or something. You know, you're 15 now, and it seems like you have a lot of free time, and it all goes into video games. As I'm sure you know, video gaming can be quite addicting, and it can take over a person's life. And while you might not be a major game addict, you are lacking balance in your life. You're lacking investment in yourself. I want to see you develop some balance and some goals to achieve balance. I want to see you set some educational and learning goals, as well as some personal goals, and I want to see you gaming a heck of a lot less. All right? And then, Regina, you're going to follow that up with another meeting and get some things written down. Also, you're going to need to be willing to turn off the Wi-Fi at some point, not with animosity or acrimony or anger, simply as a matter of family health. There'll be complaints and maybe anger and drama, but you stay positive because you're setting the standards. And when you do, others will follow. So listeners, here is our challenge today, and it's a big one. Our kids are growing up in a world where computers and the internet have taken on a level of importance that's quite profound. Very often it's how they get and complete their assignments. And we use it for work. It's how we communicate with each other. It's how we listen to music and how we access entertainment. It's how I can have this conversation with you. You know, because our kids can access virtually anything on any device, we can't easily monitor them all day, every day. If we come down heavy on them to restrict their online activity, we may just be inviting a control battle. The goal is to support and guide them towards self-investment, self-regulation, and balance. Yes, we will need to set some standards and limits along the way, but let's keep it positive and invite our kids into the solution. Then they'll be invested, and then they'll learn. We need to teach using computers and the internet like we need to teach healthy eating. We're going to need to eat all our lives. Are we going to eat in a healthy or an unhealthy way? The same thing with devices and the internet. We are going to need to use them often, and we'll want to use them often. Are we going to use them in healthy or in unhealthy ways? Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Regina from Cleveland, for your question. And do you know someone who might benefit from reading my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? Some readers have said it's the best counseling session they ever had. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.